Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. President Trump said before he took office that a president can't have a conflict of interest, and that really there was no good reason for him to sever ties with his hundreds of companies and properties around the world. Then last month, Trump and his lawyers unveiled a plan to put his holdings in a trust. And those lawyers said that that would insulate the president from having his own business interests color his decisions in the Oval Office. Now, a new investigation shows that many of the president's potential conflicts of interest remain unchanged. A Freedom of Information Act request by ProPublica unveiled records showing that President Trump is still heavily tied to his business empire. Meanwhile, our partners at the New York Times have helped pour through those records and have found important details on the president's conflicts. Suzanne Craig is one of their reporters responsible for this story. She joins me now. Suzanne, welcome.
Thanks.
Well, before the election, the president said that he was putting his businesses and his interests into a trust to avoid those conflicts. How's it going so far?
Well, it's interesting. That press conference, I look a little bit, it was a bit of a press conference by omission, and a lot of things that we learned some things, that it was going to go into a trust and that he was going to step away and turn control over to his two sons and one of his business associates. What we didn't learn from that press conference was, well, a lot of things. We didn't learn who the actual trustees of the trust were. We didn't learn whether or not the trust was revocable or irrevocable, if he could just grab control of it at any time or if somebody else had that power. And we also didn't learn who the beneficiary was. And these new documents that have come to light, thanks to a Freedom of Information request by ProPublica, show quite a bit, I think. They show that not only can he take control of the trust at any time, it is revocable. They also show that he is the sole beneficiary of the trust, and they named two people close to him as the trustees, a longtime associate at his company, a man named Alan Weiselberg, and his eldest son, Donald Jr. And what this shows to us is that while he's taken some steps to step away from the day-to-day operations, he's still very much in control in terms of he is the ultimate beneficiary of the trust. And he also gets updates on how the company's doing, and he can revoke control at any time.
So even though the president isn't controlling the day-to-day decisions of the Trump Organization, as you mentioned, if he still profits from the trust and knows what businesses he has interests in, mm-hmm. what good has this done?
Well, you make a good point on the last one, which is that it isn't blind. So at least he's not, from a business point of view, involved in the day-to-day operations, but it's incredibly significant that he knows what's there and that he also gets maybe not detailed financial information, but he gets broad financial information. So there's sort of a minor effect, but the ultimate conclusion that I drew from this, that he's still the beneficiary and he's still in control because he owns the assets and knows they're there.
And thus still has a significant conflict of interest, even if the appearance of conflict has been mitigated somehow, somewhat, by the lawyers in the press conference and the stepping away from day-to-day operations. The financial conflict of interest in the president's decisions remains.
Absolutely.
And that's critical. There's another issue swirling around this, and there are many. There's a building on Pennsylvania Avenue between the White House and Capitol Hill called the Old Post Office. It's owned by the taxpayers, but it's leased by the Trump Organization, and it's the home of the Trump International Hotel. And that lease has become a particular problem.
It has, and a lot of what we're seeing is going on because of the legal debate over that lease. The lease was inked in 2013, and it says right in it that that a government official can't benefit from the lease. And there's an argument that because of that, the president can't be on the lease. And some of these steps that they're taking, it's believed that they're doing so to try and distance himself from that lease, in order to prevent possible legal action by the government, by the GSA, the agency that actually owns the government owns the land, and the GSA oversees it, in order to avoid a lawsuit there. The experts that we talked to late last week remained unconvinced that even this sort of trying to remove him once by putting a trustee in between will have any effect, because he's still the beneficial owner of whatever is in the trust, including the Old Post Office lease.
So what are ethics experts saying to you and to your colleagues about the overall ethics and conflicts of interest picture here? We talked about the domestic issues. On the foreign front, the president and his lawyer said that no new deals would be made by the Trump Organization overseas, but he can't unknow what he owns in the Philippines or UAE or Argentina or anywhere else.
Well, it's interesting, and I think it's important to take a step back and sort of look at where we began this discussion months and months ago, which was that the president should put his holdings in a blind trust, which means it would go to an independent individual who could sell them. And that's been the call on the far end. And what a lot of people do is that they liquidate. You know, an expert I talked to months and months ago had a great saying with right now, essentially what he's done, it's like putting a gold watch in a box and pretending you don't know it's there. You still know the assets are there. And unless you move to sell them, to liquidate, the conflict exists and these problems are going to continue to follow the president.
And you still know the combination to the box if it has a lock at all.
That's right. You can at this point, he can grab it at any time. And I think we also may not know if he ever were to revoke it. We wouldn't know immediately that it had been done.
Continuing questions around the ethical and conflicts of interest picture of the president as Freedom of Information requests reveal how Donald Trump is still connected to his many hundreds of business entities. Suzanne Craig for The New York Times. Thanks for being here.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.